Lloyd Yellowbird, Senior Manager.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about Bentairrow?
Yeah, we've been around since 1994. We started off with one program, which was the Wind Dancers program. And now we fast forward to 2025. We have about 25 programs now that serve
Wow.
everything. Yeah, it serves our obviously our youth employment, our adult woman employment, transitions to success. We have Journey to Success, which is basically getting your ticket and employment and whatnot. We have our elders program, our cultural program, our employment center. We have also a program that really focuses on reuniting children with their families, which is our Gakkio program. And so we're in partnership with the ministry for that. We also have our transit community outreach transit team, which is basically on our side as Bentairrow. We have our outreach, and then it's a partnership with the city. So they have their peace officers, and what they do is basically they go to all the LRT transit stations, primarily downtown, to really focus on the houseless people that use the transit centers for, to sleep in. So they go there and take care of them, make sure they're okay, provide
Wow.
services for them. Yeah. So, and we also have our navigators, which is also a partnership with the Edmonton City Police that basically do the same thing as our COT team. And then, of course, the Navigation Center, which is downtown, which provides services to houseless people who are looking for get their ID, looking for housing, education, wide range of services that we provide for, anyone who's seeking any of those services.
You are busy over there at Bentairrow. You have so many amazing things that are happening. Could you dive into a little bit of what happens at the culture camps?
This year it's June 18th, 19th, and 20th. And then we have knowledge holders from all over Alberta and Saskatchewan, different areas, who come and share their knowledge on hunting and gathering, speaking Cree or Nakota. We also have a couple of Métis trappers' tents that are going to be set up, and Métis teachings as well. We have singing. We have a knowledge holder for that. We have teepee teaching, women's roles, rites of passage. So we have a blend of different teachings for men and women. And our focus this year is on empowering our youth through ceremony.
That sounds so beautiful. So are these culture camps meant for youth, or what's the age range or
No.
people that can come?
Oh, it's the four parts of our medicine wheel. So child, youth, adult, and elders.
Love it.
So it's all four areas right there. Yeah, it's open up to the community. It's open up to our partners in the ministry, different agencies within the city. It's open to them. So yeah, we usually get on average per day about 400 to 500 people.
I'm wondering if you could share maybe a moment that stands out from one of these gathering or a story.
The last year's camp, there was a story that was shared to us from one of the couple staff members, actually. There was a young Indigenous girl that, disconnected from her culture, and she came to our camp and a little bit reluctant, and it's normal. And she came and she learned so much about her culture. She was so interested in learning more that we were able to get her connected to her own family just by
Wow.
conversations. Yeah, just conversations she was having with one of our knowledge holders. And so yeah, we kind of stepped in. And as Indigenous families, we have big families everywhere. To
Yeah.
say that they can't find family, I mean, you didn't dig enough, or even went to the right sources. And usually it always starts off on the maternal side. Who is your mother? Who is your grandmother? And it goes from there. And it's building those relationships along the way that are so important. So if I was to learn about you, I would ask you, who's your mom? And then we'll go there. And then also, who's your father? And it will try to create this kinship mapping for you. That way, you see who your family is and where they come from, what areas they come from. And one of the teachings on kinship mapping is it was shared to us from Dr. Leona Makokis and Dr. Ralph Boder, was it's all done in Cree. And after
Oh.
you've sort of mapped out your kinship mapping, what's this relationship building too? Because they try to get away from the colonial terminologies. So they try to do it more of an indigenous lens. As soon as you're done your mapping, what really turns out is that it's a turtle that basically you're creating for yourself,
Did you
because
say it was a
you,
turtle?
a turtle, yeah. And
Like
it comes
Turtle
from the,
Island.
yeah, like
Wow.
Anishinaabe teachings, it's Turtle Island. So when you've done your mapping, you realize that you've kind of created a turtle for yourself.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
We've adapted that model, and we've also adapted a model called the practice of ceremony. And this was something that we've learned about maybe 10 years ago. And basically, we use a Sundance model, but we don't talk about the Sundance. It's just an analogy that we use on the diagram of a Sundance. And then in the middle of that Sundance is the child or the family. And then when you go outward, you have the family and kinship that are connected to that family. And then on the outside, you have community resources. And so if you follow that map, it really helps you and guides you into getting that child or those children connected to their families and where they come from. And they keep that map to show them, this is how we found your family. So yeah, it stays with the children or the child. We've really done a lot of good work in connecting children to their families through ceremony.